You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The dream is made real. Ricky Hart rocks the world.
How do you like it? How do you like it?
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It's over. Mamma mia, he's done it. Anthony Joshua defeats Vladimir Klitschko.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Welcome back, fight fans, to the Big Fight Reaction. A history-making weekend that we've just witnessed as Katie Taylor defended her undisputed lightweight title or titles against Amanda Serrano in what was an absolutely brilliant fight that certainly lived up to the hype. And then we had Shakur Stevenson certainly coming of age, beating Oscar Valdez this past weekend. Two big fights that we enjoyed previewing. Two big fights that we're going to enjoy reacting to in this episode, plus a roundup of all the other fights from the undercards that we really enjoyed and some of the other bits of news from this past weekend just gone. So let's get into the meat of the episode then. Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano, greatest female boxing match of all time. It certainly lived up to the hype, this one, Johnston. I really enjoyed watching this fight. I've watched it more than once because I felt like it needed it. And I felt like it needed it because it was quite a contentious decision. There was a lot of people that felt Amanda Serrano should have won this fight. Whereas there was also a lot of people that felt that Katie Taylor won this fight quite convincingly. So I'm going to hand this over to you. I want to know what you felt about the fight. And I'm going to ask you about how you saw that fight play out, and do you think Katie Taylor was the deserved winner, or do you think it should have been a draw, or do you even think Serrano won that fight?
Well, initially, when it started, I must say, first from the off, I was actually surprised that I actually stayed up and watched this live. And I say stayed up, I fell a kip, and then I was woken up by my Karate Kid of a son at the minute. He's loving Karate Kid. That's a whole nother type of topic. But luckily he did, because I woke up and I think I caught the Smith fight, which we were going to, the Smith and Vargas fight. And then I was up and I was really looking forward to it. I'm really pleased I did watch it live. I enjoyed all the intros, the build up to it. And then going into the fight itself, the first time I watched it, so yeah, it's early hours of the morning, still half a kip, I suppose, but I felt that Katie Taylor did win the fight. We did say that Katie needed to take the first few rounds, and I believe she did that. And I think then you had the middle part where Amanda Serrano put it on Katie. And to be fair, it's probably down to Katie's own will to want to get engaged in the fight. Because I felt, she won the first three rounds. I don't know what the guy was, it Mannix, whatever the fella's name is. I don't know what scorecard he was pulling out at that point, because I was just like, am I watching the same fight? Honestly, I weren't sure. And sort of hearing other people's opinions of it sort of the next day, I think I was pretty right in my mind. I thought Katie won the first three. I thought Serrano won the next three, and Katie was in a pack of trouble in that fifth. She looked like she might have even been taken out at one point, to be honest with you. But then either Amanda was sort of whether she tired, maybe she went for broke a bit too much, and she lacked a bit more power going into the fight from the seventh, because I thought Katie Taylor took over from the seventh, the eighth and the ninth, and then the tenth is a contentious round. It's either round, but I still think Katie Taylor won the sort of the better of those exchanges. She was coming out on top for me, and that's why I felt that she won that 10th round. So for me, I must say that I think Katie won it. I think she won it by a round. I haven't seen it again, but I will also, like, I would like to congratulate the judge, one of the judges that actually give it to Taylor. I can't remember the guy which one it was, but he actually gave a 10-8 round in that fifth round, and I thought that was very good judging.
Yeah, I enjoyed the fight. As I said before, I thought it was a great fight to watch. It kind of went out the way I thought it was going to. When we was talking about it in the preview show, we was talking about how close quarters it was going to be, and, you know, how Katie Taylor would have to get in there, and she'd have to be fast, and she'd have to get out. And she did that over the first few rounds, and towards the sort of the midway point, she started to do that again after she had that World of Trouble, as you mentioned. And Serrano did what I thought she was going to do, which was she was going to try and get in and pick them punches off, and she did. But I also felt like Katie Taylor was quite significantly faster than what I've seen her before. I don't know if it was just I was seeing it from a different perspective or at the time of watching it, but I actually felt like she came in a lot faster. She must have worked on speed. I think that's what I'm trying to get at. She must have worked on a lot more speed and footwork in this build-up, because it felt like she was beating Serrano to the punch on a lot of occasions, and I think that's what won her the majority of the rounds in this fight, was that she was getting in, and she wasn't just looking busy, but she was busy inside the pocket. On the inside, she was getting the shots off to the body and throwing the uppercuts in and catching Serrano, and Serrano at times looked a little bit more ponderous, especially as the rounds went on. As you said, when she started to tire, she felt a little bit more ponderous. She was missing shots, so she was probably expending a bit more energy than what she needed to expend. And I think that's where Katie took over the fight towards the championship rounds. That fifth round, though, that was a world of trouble for Katie Taylor. That I honestly thought that another referee could have quite easily stepped in there and said, you know what, no more. And thankfully, we had a referee that used their initiative and realised this is a massive championship fight. Do not stop this fight unless she's completely out on her feet or she's on the ground. And at one point, she looked a little bit out of it. How she managed to recover from it, well, that's just sheer heart and determination, absolutely. And that's what she's shown abundance of in this fight, was sheer heart and determination. And that's what won her the fight. That, to me, that's what won her the fight. When I first watched it, I thought, this could be quite easily a draw. When I watched it back a second time, I can see why Katie Taylor has been given the decision. I can also see why people think Serrano won the fight, but it's definitely not as contentious as what I think people think it is. I think Taylor put on a great performance at the start, the midway and towards the end of the fight, and Serrano had her good spells of the fight. I think there was a lot of biased commentary going on. I think that also tends to sway people's opinions. If you watch the fights with commentary on, especially the American commentary, it was very pro Serrano and negative a bit more towards Katie Taylor at times. So, you know, I kind of tried to take that away from it a little bit, and I think it is a fight that I'd like to see again. I think, like, the Delphine Passoon fight with Katie Taylor, I think that was a really tough fight for her in the first one. I'd love to see the second one. I'd love to see this as a second fight, but from what I've read on social media this past 24 hours, they're actually looking past Serrano now and not looking at a rematch. I don't know whether there's a contractual obligation for a rematch. Usually there is, especially with magnitude fights like this, so I can imagine that might be somewhere down the line. But I said in the preview show that Katie Taylor, if she wins this fight, why doesn't she retire after this at 35? What else has she got to prove? She's just been a part of the greatest female fight of all time. She's been the flag bearer of the female boxing for the last 5-6 years. What else is there for her to do in the sport? Do you think now, Johnston, she's going to move up again to super lightweight and maybe look at capturing a title again? Or is she just going to look at making another defence of the undisputed titles? I mean, what would you want to see now for Katie Taylor?
I think you're right in terms of her right to now retire. I sort of felt that it was in her mind. I know she seems up for the fight, but she took that really slow walk, didn't she, into the ring, and she really tried to just take in what was happening. And she took her time with that. And I thought that was a good thing to do. I thought, again, the commentators were sort of saying it's just to keep Serrano in the ring a bit longer. I think she was just soaking up the atmosphere. She knew it was a massive night for female boxing, especially in our era. The eras before, I'm sure there are probably other fights just as big. But in terms of its magnitude in what I've witnessed, I think that's the biggest fight I've seen. And I felt that both fighters produced the goods. But I think, personally, you know, I wouldn't put it against Katie to turn around and say, look, do you know, saying that, they could do it again. I would like to see it again. It was a good fight. Really, I enjoyed it. I don't think it was as amazing as some people are working out. I think I've seen better fights, but it was still very technically astute. I thought both fighters had their moments. So I felt that she had more moments than Serrano. And I sort of found it difficult to understand how Serrano was picking up any of the first three rounds. I just, for me, I thought Katie entered the fight in the right way. And to she's not going to be working behind the jab. It's not the type of fight she is. But she was in and out very quickly. And Serrano struggled with that. And for what Katie felt that she was in so much control that she feels like, now I'm going to sort of stand and plant my feet and go toe-to-toe with her. It was a massive mistake on her part. And even her corner looked a little bit suspicious when she went back in that fifth round. I felt that they sort of overlooked the fact that she looked really tired. Although sometimes Katie does look tired anyway. But yeah, that was it was a great moment for her. Her recovery skills were magnificent, and it just shows you, as you say, the fitness she put in, the speed was there. But I would like to see it again, Sean. I think she should stay out of the way. I think they should have a second fight, being an island. Why not? If they could possibly do that, whether Serrano would want to. I think Serrano would. And to be fair to her, credit to her, she didn't even really moan. She said, I felt like I won the fight, but it went beyond that. They knew that fight has made female boxing even bigger. And I think that was the point of it. And I think they both put on valiant displays, and they've boxing with this fight. I believe that there's going to be more eyes on it now, and people genuinely may stick on some other female fighters top of the card. And that was nice to see. It's just that, for me, was the main talking point. And the fact that Serrano, you know, she didn't moan. I know, obviously, a promoter did. He moaned a little bit. What's his name? Jake Paul. I don't know what is that. Do you know? I don't really follow the guy. But look, for me, she won the fight, Katie. I think she just shaded it. It was a good fight. Why can't I do it again? I think it, and possibly an island. I would like to see a 12-rounder for a fight like this. 2-minute rounds, fine. But she had another couple of rounds on. For me, personally, I know it's a talking point that people make it 3 minutes, but add another couple of rounds. I think that would have been more intriguing going into those last two rounds, whether Serrano would have been able to come back at Katie or not, and whether they would have gone toe-to-toe in that 10th round like they did. But yeah, I believe 12 rounds, 2 minutes, 12 rounds, I don't see why they don't do it.
No, that is a huge talking point, isn't it? That's what I think we do need to take a step forward for the female side of the sport, is to make it a little bit more equal. And they talk about equality in boxing, and I think as time's going on, I think the sort of stance on it is starting to soften with those within boxing that are detracting from this happening. So I think that has also give us the talking point of being able to see that be facilitated in the future. And I'd like to see it be facilitated. Okay, if they don't go 12-3 minutes, but they go 12-2 minutes, that's a step forward. And maybe in another couple of years, they'll go to 3 minutes. If there's enough evidence to suggest that it's not going to be a detriment to females, then why not? Why not do it? This is the thing for me. They talk about equality. In this day and age, they're talking about making everything equal. Do it. Stop wasting time talking about it, umming and ahhing about it. Just get it done and let these fighters get on with it. Do you not think these fighters go in the gym and spar for 12 3-minute rounds? Of course they do. Of course they do. They do it all the time in training. So they're actually conditioned for longer than they're actually in the ring for on fight night anyway. So, you know, why not allow this to happen? Well, we'll see what the future holds, but I think this will definitely open the door for that conversation to happen, maybe even if it is just 12 2-minute rounds. But what a great fight, a really enjoyable fight, and for me, I think it will be a starting point for greater things to come in the future with the female side of the sport. So let's move on then, Johnston. Do you want to move on to Shakur Stevenson's victory over Valdez and what you think of that?
Stevenson. Oh, my goodness. Shakur Stevenson. I was very impressed with the kid. I've been a huge fan of his. From the moment he's turned over, I've kept a close eye on him. And I felt that he would dominate this fight. We said it was a sort of 60-40. We felt Valdez would need to land something. And there wasn't a moment in that fight where Shakur was in any danger whatsoever. As we mentioned, his distancing, his timing, his hand speed, his IQ, the way he was... a couple of times you sort of see him sort of stepping on each other's feet, because obviously you're going to get that orthodox and a southpaw fighter. But just the distance and how he was able to come out of danger if Valdez ever did try to put any pressure on him, I was really impressed with Shakur Stevenson. And I think as that would not cement him as the top of the division, but now people will start eyeing him as potentially one of the future stars in boxing in general. And I honestly believe he's got all the ability to do that. And he made Valdez look very average. And I know people have sort of turned around and said that Valdez, because he looks average, that he's a poor fighter. I don't believe that. I think, and he's one of the best in his division. It's just he's come up against a guy that outboxed him. He literally outboxed him in every respect. And what I love to see with Shakur Stevenson is always had a smile on his face, was absolutely enjoying it. Before they were coming out in some of the rounds to even engage again or dance into the music, I did love it. I really enjoyed watching it. And I feel that he was enjoying himself as well. It was just a thrill to watch. An absolute boxing masterclass from the kid. And as I say, it just made me think, mate.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I thought it was a great fight. I really enjoyed seeing Shakur Stevenson come of age. I said it at the top of the show. Shakur came of age in that fight because, you know, we wasn't sure if that Jamal Herring fight was maybe just Jamal Herring getting a little bit older and maybe coming past his prime, even though he was champion, you know, with all due respect to him. However, Shakur shown us what we anticipated could be, which was him using that speed and ability and boxing technique to get in and out and hurt Valdez, who did what I thought he was going to in this fight. I think he came forward in straight lines too often, and he didn't use as much lateral movement as I thought he would do. And I think that's shown when Sir Stevenson was able to get him down in round number 6. And it was just great combinations, great flurries, and just sort of bamboozled him throughout the course of the fight. And, you know, for all his credit, Oscar Valdez admitted, you know, he got beat by a better man on the night, and he really did. And, you know, I thought maybe he was going to be a bit... You know, he's going to make an excuse for it, or, but no, I was quite happy with the fact that he actually admitted that, you know, I got beat by a better guy. It's simple as that now. And, you know, we're looking at Valdez's career moving forward. Does he move up in weight now after this? Because we know he's had problems with the weight. I think for me personally, why not? Why shouldn't he move up to lightweight next? Is he big enough at lightweight? And then for Shakur, well, I want to see him unify this super featherweight division before he moves anywhere forward. And he's got time on his hands as well, with him having two belts and with there being the two other belts in the division. There's no reason why he can't chase that dream of becoming an undisputed super featherweight champion. But we'll see what comes of it, and we'll see what boxing brings up to us. But overall, I really enjoyed the fight. I thought it was a great event, great fight, and it just showcased, you know, some great ability from Shakur Stevenson and some heart and determination from Oscar Valdez. So, really enjoyed it. They were the two big fights of the weekend that, you know, we covered for the big fight preview. And There were a lot of other fights that we mentioned that were on over the weekend as well, Johnston. We said about, obviously, what else we wanted to tune into this weekend. And I go back to the DAZN card, and I go back to Liam Smith's fight with Jesse Vargas. I thought that was another really good fight. I really enjoyed that. Liam Smith got the win, TKO in the 10th round. But it wasn't all his own way in the first 4 or 5 rounds. I thought it was a really good nip-and-tuck fight between the two of them. And I thought at one point, Vargas might even really hurt him and put him down. But Liam Smith, systematically, as the rounds went on, he broke Jesse Vargas down and hurt him with multiple shots to the body and the head. And he also opened a cut on Jesse Vargas, as Jesse Vargas opened a cut on Smith. And eventually he had him in a lot of trouble in the 9th and eventually stops him in the 10th, which is a fantastic win for Liam. Absolutely fantastic win for him. And he's just shown that he's still got that little bit of desire and burning desire left in the tank to challenge for another world title again. Whereas I think Vargas is into politics outside of the boxing ring, and he'd put his political career on hold for this fight. So if I was being Jesse Vargas now, I'd probably be saying maybe it's time to call it time and focus on everything else that's going on outside of the ring. But I want to know what you made of that performance from Liam, really. And, you know, has he got enough to become a world champion again?
I've always liked Liam Smith. I feel that he's just relentless, but he's a constant threat throughout the fight. He doesn't burst out of the traps, and he just gets stronger the more the fight goes on. But he sort of maintains a level, and no matter what his opponents do, whether it was Fowler before that or Vargas on Saturday, well, early hours Sunday morning, sometimes you feel that Liam is. He's not adjusted too well. I think he's a very slow starter, but I just feel that some of the fighters will come at him and then he will gradually lose a couple of rounds, but then he just gets stronger. And but his level's consistent throughout the 12 rounds. He's flurries. He puts constant pressure on his opponents. And that was basically what he done on Saturday. And I just feel that eventually he was going to break him down. And you could sense that Vargas was struggling with it the more and more the fight wore on. And Liam just began to really pull away. Vargas showed a lot of heart to stay in there. And as you say, he has got other distractions away from the ring. And I don't really, a fighter that can fight above the welterweight division, I feel like he was quite small for that division as it was. And I wasn't the best of moves from him. But I think that in the end, the natural bigger guy came out on top, and obviously the two cuts. It was a good fight, though. It was really enjoyable to watch. And yeah, I was impressed with Liam, and I just hope that he does get that chance. I believe there's talks, obviously, once again of Kell Brook, whether Kell would want to take that fight, because obviously I don't think the money's quite in that. But really impressed with Liam. A sensational finish, really, the fact that he got the stoppage. I thought Vargas would just hang on, and I thought Smith would take a unanimous decision. But in the end, he got the stoppage. Credit to him. And I feel, although there was only 6 minutes to go, I don't think Vargas was in any real particular. He wasn't that hurt, I don't feel. I feel like it was more the volume that was coming at him and he wasn't responding to stand the stoppage. I feel that Vargas possibly could have just got through the fight. And I'm sure he probably would be disappointed that he did get stopped. But I wouldn't say it's a premature stoppage or anything. But just look, Liam Smith has got to be happy with that. And I think Vargas, it's the end of the road for him now.
I would say so. I would agree with that assessment that Liam Smith will be looking at eyeing up the winner of Charlo versus Castano too, as will many other super welterweights as well. They'll be all looking at that fight and wanting a piece of the winner of that one, of course. But he's got his opportunity. He's out there. He's ranked number 4, I think, by the WBO at the moment now. So it's an opportunity for him going forward to have at least one last world title tilt. And I think he's capable of competing at the highest level still. Even still now, I think he's still showing he's got the capabilities to do that. I think whether he wins a world title is another question, but competing at that level, absolutely, he's definitely got something left there to do that. So that was a great fight for the undercard. Wanted to mention Amo Williams getting a first round TKO against the fellow undefeated Chordale Booker, and just showing again, even though he stepped up in levels, he's fighting a fellow undefeated fighter with more experience, he still manages to pull it out of the bag. And I think as time's going on, the more and more they start to step up these levels of opposition, the more difficult opposition he gets, the more we'll get to see how good he really is. Lukey's always mentioned before on our preview shows about Amo Williams, about him needing to step up and needing him to be in really competitive fights to see the best of him. I think On paper, it was very competitive. In reality, he just blew him out of the water and got an absolutely great victory at the weekend. Galalyafai got a victory as well over the weekend, the second round retirement of Miguel Cartagena. And then we also had Reshat Matti going 12-0, Sky Nicholson going 3-0, and then the undisputed super middleweight female titles, Franchon Cruz Dezern getting the unanimous decision over Ellen Cedruz, which made up that particular card. But then we go back to the top ranked card and obviously have a couple of mentions for that one. Nico Ali Walsh, grandson of Muhammad Ali, of course, getting an emphatic stoppage in the first round, and that was another highlight reel KO to add to his list. He now goes 5-0. Kayshawn Davis with a TKO in 6 rounds continues his career, goes 5-0 with a great victory there. And then you're also seeing victories for Raymond Mutataglia and Andreas Cortez over that particular weekend. So all in all, it was a great showing over both cards. I enjoyed catching up with all the fights on Sunday. I enjoyed seeing the outcomes of some of these other undercard fighters because, you know, for us, we don't always get to tune into all these American fighters all the time. So, you know, people that tune into us from America, they see us, or they hear us, should I say, talk about a lot of the main fights, but they don't get to hear us mention some of the other fights on the card. So I've been making a bit more of a conscious effort to try and tune into as many of the other undercard fighters as possible. And the reason I don't tend to do that is probably the same reason we do here in the UK. It's like a lot of the fighters that they go in against have got losing records. So a lot of them are mismatches. So you tend to really sort of not see the best of these fighters until maybe they're at least 10 fights forward, because that's when they start putting them in with better matched opposition. But, you know, I've seen some good fighters over the weekend. What did you make of any particular fighters, any standout performances, anything you wanted to highlight from any of these fights over the weekend?
I like Kishon Davis. I do like the kid. You know, he in the early 20s, 24, something like that. Yeah, I was really impressed with him. And the fact that he's in the gym working with Shakur Stevenson is only going to help him. And he does look like a real name to keep an eye out for. And he's going to just make his way through the ranks. Yeah, so I'm very, very impressed with sort of the start he's made. And I hope that he can maintain that, because it would be nice to see another name again in the lightweight division. But look, he's probably the one guy. I mean, I didn't see Nico Ali count. I've heard it was emphatic and people were quite impressed with it. But yeah, I mean, it's too early to even really mention. I mean, I'm saying Kishon, but Kishon just does look to be quite polished with that amateur background behind him as well. So, yeah, I think that's the other name to really look out for me. I will definitely be keeping a beady eye on him.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So I'm looking forward to that particular weekend coming up. We're going to be talking about Canelo versus Bivol in a big fight preview coming up after this particular episode, so please do tune in for that. I suppose final thoughts then on this past weekend really goes back to the main event for me, which was Taylor versus Serrano this weekend, and how it really did bring the boxing fraternity together. It was really good to see, you know, a lot of people in attendance, a lot of people shouting about it on social media, a lot of celebrities as well talking about it on social media. And that's kind of know when you've got the audience there, when you've got the world watching, is when you get these celebrities like film stars and actors and all these other people within different sports coming together to sort of talk about particular fights. I mean, even like WWE were involved. They presented Katie Taylor with a WWE women's title because they're obviously the links to Becky Lynch, her being from Ireland and her training in similar areas to Katie Taylor. She's obviously the sort of the standout Irish superstar in WWE, and that's kind of why they've got this relationship with boxing as well. So it was good to see. It was good to see everybody coming out for that, and I just hope that, as per our conversation earlier, that, you know, they start to look at relaxing the rules a little bit around, you know, the rounds and the length of the rounds and how it will actually transcend the sport even more. Because, and I know we're guilty of saying this, we're guilty of always saying female boxing. And it's a phrase that everybody uses to differentiate the male and female in the sport. But what it really should come down to eventually is it just being a boxing match rather than it's a female boxing match. It's just a boxing match. It's a boxing match between two really well-trained athletes, two great competitors. What does it matter if they're male or they're female? And I think that's the other thing it needs to be pushing forward for. I know there's going to be a lot of people that will never be able to look at boxing in that way. They'll always differentiate between male and female because of obviously the genetic side of thing. But for me, when you get a fight like that and you get two competitors at their very peaks in sports, it doesn't matter. To me, it doesn't matter if they're male, if they're female, if they're black, the white, the Chinese, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. If you've got two talented individuals within the sport of boxing in that ring at that time, and they're showing the world what boxing is all about, and they're giving this sort of shop window to the sport, that, to me, is what matters the most. It doesn't matter about, female boxing, the quality of it isn't good. And that's what you see a lot of on social media. I've seen comments on social media after this fight saying, yeah, it was a decent fight, but, female boxing's still shit. And that's literally what I was seeing. I was like, right, okay, I understand that there is some way to go to up the level of competition when it comes down to females in the sport. But that is quickly rising. And eventually, over the next 5-10 years, I don't even think people will just refer to it as female boxing. And I know, like I said, we're guilty of it. We say it all the time. I've said it about 15 times in this episode. But eventually, we should just be talking about it as boxing and not female boxing.
So the matter is that we had Taylor and Serrano. We've spoke more about that than we did with Stevenson and Oscar Valdez. So for us, that was the fight of the weekend, Taylor Serrano. And we felt that we would put that first and discuss that first because that was the better fight, irrelevant if it was male or female. And that was the truth of it. And that's pretty much, that is how it worked out, because as we thought, Shakur Stevenson did what he was supposed to do and just wiped the floor with Oscar Valdez. Whereas the Taylor Serrano fight was a lot closer. It was a lot more entertaining. There was a lot more going on in that fight than the other one. So, and it got overshadowed. Let's be honest, Taylor Serrano overshadowed Stevenson and Valdez. There wasn't much discussion about that. Boxing diehard fan. I mean, even the fact that I'm sitting at home on the Sunday morning and BBC News, which don't always tend to even discuss boxing, actually one of the main headlines on their sports news bulletin was the fact that Katie Taylor had just beaten Amanda Serrano. That there, that level shows, that exposure that the rest of the world was watching. And it wasn't just for boxing. It was a sporting occasion, and I think that's the other part of it, and that's the beautiful thing about it. When we get these big fights, there's a lot of interest in it, and it's a sport at the end of the day. The be all and end all, it is a sport, and if it gets more eyes on boxing, then you're going to get more kids in the gym. There's going to be more funding. You're going to get more development. And whether they're male or female or whatever color you are, whatever creed you are, whatever background you are, it doesn't matter. As long as you enjoy the sport and you want to improve and you want to progress and try and become as good as those two, Taylor and Serrano, then good luck to you. And that's what we want. It's a sporting occasion, not necessarily just a big box in a cage.
I think that's a very good way to end this episode. I'm not adding anything more to that because I thought that was it was a great advert for any young listeners that might be tuning into us. And I hope that, you know, it does put that message across, really, because that's what I've taken away from it as well. As a boxing fan, first and foremost, I've taken that exactly away from it. It's been a great weekend to cover. I've really enjoyed watching the fights this weekend. And I hope you guys have too. Please do let us know, as always, on social media about your opinions on these fights. You can get at us on Twitter at BTR Boxing Pod, or on Facebook, or on Instagram or YouTube, the BTR Boxing Podcast Network. Please do go and check that out. A big shout out to the patrons of the podcast, as always. Your support is helping us, as it always does, to continuously improve all of our content across this network. And if you're not already a patron, please do check us out at patreon.com/BTR Boxing Podcast Network. On there you can get things like early access to episodes, you can get ad free content, so if you don't want to listen to the ads midway through the episodes, then please go and check that out. You can commission episodes, you get patron only content, so there's episodes that we've recorded and released on there that none of you guys will have listened to if you just listen to us on a general basis. So if all that sounds pretty interesting or pretty appealing to you, then please do go and check us out, because for a little amount to support us, you'll be able to get all that content and much, much more. So please check us out at patreon.com/BTR Boxing Podcast Network. That's everything for this big fight reaction. Please do go and check out our big fight preview for Dimitri Bivol and Saul Canelo Alvarez.
Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.